Chapter 9, Rightly Viewed, Rightly Handled. The Bible distinguishes between the sins that we all commit and a lifestyle of persistent spiritual rebellion. But in the case of open rebellion and known sin, the church's job is to bring the sin to light and deal with it. Tony Evans. The difference, however, is that though we are all sinners, sinning daily, yet we are also daily bringing those same sins into judgment, acknowledging them, and experiencing forgiveness for them. If we were not doing this, then we would not be eligible to participate in an experience of church discipline, and we ourselves would be proper subjects for corrective action. Don Baker. It is not uncommon, during discussions on topics like church discipline, for somebody to point out the fact that all of us are sinners. And it is not uncommon, when once a church responds to persistent rebellion in the life of another, that they are accused of hypocrisy, since all of us are sinners. To be sure, these are serious charges, and they are tragically too often true. Woe be unto any person or any church that would hypocritically judge another, and woe be unto anybody who would use the process of church discipline with rebellious hands. It would seem, however, that this truth of the sinfulness of mankind is often used as an argument against any Christian and any church ever exercising church discipline. This, however, is not a valid protest. Church discipline is to be brought against stubborn, rebellious, recognized, and embraced sins of persistence that have become ingrained in our lives. Church discipline is brought then against a certain type of sin, the type that has enslaved a believer and has been embraced by that believer, the type that thumbs its nose at God and man and the body of Christ and says, "I will do what I want." Furthermore, it must be kept in mind that Jesus recognized the sinfulness of mankind, but still instructed us to be about the business of church discipline when necessary. In other words, Jesus apparently felt that struggling human beings could rightly chasten their brothers and sisters when such fell into open and unrepentant rebellion. Finally, this idea paints itself into a corner. For if sin is defined as disobedience to God, and if God's word instructs us clearly in the matter of church discipline, then refusing to exercise church discipline is itself a sin. Thus, refusing to exercise church discipline since we are all sinners is the same as saying we should sin since we are all sinners. Surely this is not what we want to say. The truth of our sinfulness should lead us to conclude that we all need to be more diligent in watching over our own lives, more careful in cultivating godliness in our own hearts, and more diligent in disciplining ourselves. It should not lead us to conclude that we should never call another away from their sins, even using church discipline in its process. Jesus is emphatic that the initial step in church discipline is that you should go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. This can only work if a radical change happens in the life of the average evangelical church. Simply put, we must put a closed sign on the gossip mill. Church discipline cannot work among a gossiping people. It must be realized that gossip is subtle and pervasive. In Christian circles, it often does not take the obvious form of blatant slander. On the contrary, Christians have devised numerous and subtle forms of gossip. Number 1, prayer gossip. The slandering of another under the guise of prayer, i.e., I think we need to pray for blank. I heard that he and his wife are having lots of problems. The proper response? Let's do pray for him. And while we're at it, let's pray for your tongue as well, that it will refrain from gossip. Number 2, advice gossip. The slandering of another under the guise of a need for advice, i.e., I'm not trying to talk bad about blank. I'm just struggling with what I should do and how I should approach him. The proper response? I would advise you not to go to anybody else for advice. Go directly to him instead and ask him if this is true. Number 3, Just kidding, gossip. The slandering of another, followed by an assurance that you were only just kidding. I.e., old blank is a real alcoholic. Ha, I'm just kidding. The proper response, you may be just kidding, but it's not funny. That's a person's name you're talking about. Please don't joke like that around me. Yes, in all of its subtle forms, gossip must stop for church discipline to be effective. The words of Jesus at the end of step one are very interesting. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. Matthew 18:15b. The same thought was expressed by James as well. Whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. James 5:20. There are high stakes involved with church discipline. If we are faithful in obeying loving church discipline, this is what we stand to win. Your brother, his spiritual peace and well-being, forgiveness, your personal relationship, the person's relationship with the church, the person's witness, the church's witness, honor for the name of Christ, honor for the church of Christ, the joy of personal obedience to Christ. If we turn from this calling, however, we stand to lose all of these things. It is amazing how much we are willing to risk losing simply because we do not want the momentary awkwardness of having to go to a brother or sister in need and speak a word of love. Is church discipline worth it? Is the spiritual peace, health, and well-being of a single person worth it? Is the name and honor of Christ worth it? Is the witness and ministry of the church in its community worth it? Is obedience worth it? Is love for God and each other worth it? The answer to all of these questions is a strong and resounding yes. We stand to win a lot if we love enough and have enough courage to return to church discipline. We stand to lose a lot if we bow at the altar of compromise and turn our faces away from what Christ has asked of His church. Christianity Today reports that in August of 1985, several members of Chicago's Moody Church confronted a member of the church, a doctor, concerning rumors that he was performing abortions. The doctor, in turn, sent a letter to the church executive committee asking to be removed from the membership role. The executive committee removed the doctor from the church role while the pastor, Dr. Erwin Lutzer, was out of town. Lutzer, however, knew of the abortion allegations while the rest of the executive committee did not, and upon his return voiced his objection. Dr. Lutzer, feeling that the member had requested to be removed from the church's membership in an attempt to avoid church discipline, confronted the member, at which time the member confirmed that he had, in fact, been performing abortions. Lutzer responded by beginning the process of calling on the church to plead with the offending member to stop his abortion practice. While some felt that this was inappropriate, since the doctor was no longer a member, many felt that it was necessary, especially since the executive committee said that it would not have honored the doctor's request had they known of the allegations. After the doctor admitted to Lutzer that he did perform abortions, the Moody Church was publicly informed of the matter, and they were asked to contact the doctor and plead with him to stop the practice. Dr. Lutzer explained why he called on the church to appeal to the former member. Even though technically Blank was no longer a member, we felt that for someone who had been so much a part of the body of Christ here, we couldn't just let it go. This historical case study raises some interesting issues concerning the dynamics between formal church membership and church discipline. Should a church member be allowed to short-circuit church discipline by leaving a church after the first steps of discipline have been taken? Should a church grant a letter in an effort to avoid having to deal with church discipline? What if a church body grants a letter of dismissal because it is unaware that the process of church discipline has begun and would not have granted the letter had it known of the process? These are issues that churches must grapple with in the light of God's Word. This much we can say. The Moody Church obviously has a high view of membership and a great commitment to trying to obey the Lord.